Hey, this is Troy from Planet 76. We've got some really good Sixers-focused content coming your way today. Make sure you subscribe to the pod so you can be in the know when we release new content. Enjoy the show. What is going on, Sixers fans? Welcome into another episode of Planet 76. I'm one of your co-hosts, Troy, and Michael is with me as always. This is episode 141 of the podcast, and we are in the last week of the regular season. Sixers still have a couple more games to go. 80 down and 2 to go this week at home. Sixers did beat the Detroit Pistons tonight at home, 120 to 102. And we're going to talk about that a little bit. We're just going to touch on, I mean, everybody's favorite topic at the moment is the race to try and maybe avoid the play-in. Sixers are in a better spot than they were in this time last week, even just a couple days ago, as they've, you know, gotten up to the 7th seed. That's what happens when you win 6 in a row, and one of those wins coming against Miami. And Indiana's still playing well. Indiana was losing tonight to Toronto for a little bit, and actually my dad texted me about it. He was like, that'd be nice. And then not 3 minutes after that, I look again, and Indiana's leading. So I was like, all right, well, that didn't age well, but... yeah, we'll talk about that and a whole lot more. Subscribe if you're not already, and welcome to the show. Michael, your thoughts on any of that or anything else?
It's fun to win. It's fun to win 6 in a row. It's fun to win. And when you get a guy like Embiid back, this is really a whole different team. This is really a whole different basketball team. The product that we're seeing right now is just totally different from what it was a week ago, 2 weeks ago, 6 weeks ago. It's refreshing. It's fun. It's nice. I think I talked about this last week, kind of, but whatever adjective you want to use to describe what's going on, it's just all good things. And obviously having Embiid back is awesome, but... the Sixers looking so much better. Not perfect by any means, not a perfect product, but the Sixers looking so much better because of Embiid is what really brings joy to my heart. And and you get a player who was the clear-cut MVP, was going to win the award again before he was injured. You get probably a top 3 or 4 player in the NBA at this point. I think Sixers, any Sixers bias aside, I think you could say that with some level of confidence. It's just great. And the Sixers now get a chance to really compete at full strength. D'Anthony Melton came back tonight too. Hopefully he's back for the long haul, for the playoffs, play-in tournament. We'll see what happens. But it's nice to have the Sixers going into whatever scenario they face in the postseason with a fully healthy team. With a fully, minus Covington. I don't know what he's doing. With a fully healthy team, I would just be scared if I was any other team in the East. I know it's hard to say what the Sixers are going to do if they make the playoffs, but... I wouldn't want to face the Sixers in the playoffs if I'm any other team. I think they're pretty dangerous, and we can get into some of that this week if you want. Maybe some of that next week if you want. But I think they're pretty dangerous.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, again, Embiid came back, and all of a sudden Sixers have won 6 in a row. I mean, it's hard to say there's not a correlation there, even though, you know, Embiid didn't play in all those, but I think all but one. So Sixers are now 45-35, and certainly in the thick of it, you know, obviously in this play-in discussion. The reality is, though, with the Pacers winning tonight, Sixers a full game back of them, but Indiana, 99% sure, owns all tiebreaker situations. So Indiana would have to lose their remaining two games, and the Sixers would have to win their remaining two. Indiana, they're finishing up the season with the Cavaliers and the Hawks. So, I mean, those are certainly losable games. They can certainly lose. Sixers have the Magic and the Nets So we'll see what happens there. But the one piece that is certainly encouraging is that the Sixers do control their own destiny over Miami, right? Like, you just keep winning. You win these last two games. You don't have to go to Miami for that play-in. Yeah. We talked about that being a huge key.
Huge.
Last time we were, you know, on an episode together was, okay, if you have to go to Miami just to get the 7 and have a chance at the 7, you got to do that. And then if you lose that, then you got to beat someone else just to get the 8. And if you get the 8, your reward is Boston. So that's something you want to avoid at all costs. Yeah. And so obviously Sixers one game play in against Miami at home to get the 7 is huge. So that is very much on the table. That's very much before them right now. I will say too, with Embiid, something that you know about, but when he's not on the floor, or when he's not on the floor for a long time like he was, and then he comes back, you're kind of just like, wow, yeah, that does make a difference. It's just kind of the gravity that he commands.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's so many guys getting open, and, you know, he makes the other guys around him better. Obviously, he's the cornerstone of this team. He's, you know, who these guys have been brought in to play around, every single person on this team. And it shows. I think that's a kind of an underwhelming part that's not, you know, that noticed right now, is, but it's significant. It's just how much gravity. I mean, Kelly Oubre's been playing very well, and we know the story with some of the other guys too. Maxey dropping 52 the other night. So very, very, very encouraged, obviously, by the 6 wins, like you said. Winning is fun. So why don't you just give your take? I mean, I just kind of went off there a little bit about the play-in, but just your take on, I mean, there's only 2 games to go. We kind of see how things are going to unfold. Your thoughts on where the Sixers are at in this whole play-in deal.
I think there's definitely some benefit to a potential play-in. Obviously, there's benefit to getting in the playoffs because you can avoid that and avoid being out in one game if you end up at the 9th seed, which, I mean, I don't think the Sixers end up there at this point in time, especially after, again, this 6-game win streak that they're on. But a potential 7 or 8 seed would mean you get, well, you don't want the 8th seed. You don't really want Boston or Milwaukee in the first round. Although I think Milwaukee's on the verge of falling to 3. There's still so much up in the air, but
They still could.
At the end of the day, a first round matchup of any of Cleveland, Orlando, even Milwaukee. I mean, Milwaukee is obviously not the ideal first round matchup, but if you draw Milwaukee in the first round, I think that's a winnable series. Any first round matchup of Cleveland, Orlando, if you can somehow get, I don't think they can get Indiana. Indiana would have to be the 4 or 5. That's not going to happen. Even the Knicks. I would kind of be scared of the Knicks in the first round, but I think the Sixers could beat them. So any of the 3 in the first round, if you can draw that, you would have to get the 6 more than likely. To draw Orlando or Cleveland, you'd have to get the 4 or 5 to draw the New York Knicks. So any of those 3 opponents in the first round are fine with me. I wouldn't love the Knicks. I want to give due respect to the New York Knicks because they've been awesome. They're a great team, very physical team, and not afraid to throw everyone at you defensively. So the Knicks. But no, I think there's definitely some bright spots to look at. Even if the Sixers do fall to the play-in, they end up with the 7. Ideally, if they end up in the play-in, ideally the 7th seed, because then you can still draw New York. If they end up with the 2 seed, you could still maybe draw Milwaukee, which, again, you don't really want to do that much. But the perfect scenario is the 6th seed, because there's a very, very good chance you draw Orlando or Cleveland. And in my opinion, those 2 teams are the most favorable first-round matchups for the Sixers. Not because the Sixers are better necessarily, but I definitely give the Sixers the best chance at beating them 2 more so than I would any other team.
Yeah, right. So 6, 7, 8, we know our preferences, but, you know, obviously we recognize the the chances of that happening right now, you know, with Indiana, you know, getting up to the six is, I mean, they have to lose twice. Sixers have to win twice. Could it happen? Said, absolutely.
You said Indiana has to lose twice?
Right. So if Sixers want the six, Indiana has to lose both theirs, and Sixers have to win both theirs. Could happen, certainly, but, right, I don't know. I mean, it's looking more and more likely. Sixers will be in that 7-8 game, and the hope, again, is let's hold on to home court in that game. And, yeah, to your point, you know, Milwaukee's the two right now, but New York's right there. Mm-hmm. Milwaukee's been kind of stumbling lately, and so New York's right there. They're the team just one game back of Milwaukee. So that's significant. But I think all in all, kind of a little bit of a reality check for us. Like, I mean, it was a brutal 2 months that the Sixers just went through without Embiid on the floor. And the fact that we're sitting here, you know, kind of talking about some potential matchups, kind of even saying, and I don't think you're wrong. I think it's right that, like, hey, you get a seven and you get Milwaukee, like, we'll take our shot.
Yeah.
Right. We'll absolutely take a chance and, you know, let's go do it. And, like, that's just kind of encouraging because I don't know that we knew we were going to be here with two games left in the season, right, kind of talking like that. So that's good. And, yeah, anything else just kind of on where the Sixers have been the last few games? Again, six straight. They're doing what they can. It just might end up being a little too late, too little too late to avoid that play-in. But anything else kind of jump off the page for you about any of these recent wins?
No, I mean, just beating the teams you're supposed to beat. And thankfully, the Sixers, again, we talked about it last week, but thankfully the Sixers have, because they're still it's still going on, but thankfully the Sixers have had / have a easy schedule. And I don't want to say easy because it's, in theory, you could still lose these games, but teams who are well below 500, the Pistons, the Spurs,
right,
they have the Magic and the Nets coming up, right?
Yep.
And that's it. I mean, the Magic are very good, but like I said a few minutes ago, I think the Sixers are better. I think they're the better team. I think they'll win. I hope they'll win. That'd be a nice win, especially heading into the playoffs. And they have the Brooklyn Nets, who, again, are below 500, are not that good. They're good,
right?
They're just not that good, and quite frankly, they're just kind of, I don't know, this is not Brooklyn Nets talk, but yeah, it's nice to have Embiid back, to your point earlier about the gravity, you know, the gravity thing with Embiid. It's just, he commands so much attention from defenses that you don't have when he's off the floor. I mean, him being on the court makes the game so much different because defenses have to plan for that. When he's not there, they don't have to plan for that. He doesn't command that. Like, there's no defensive attention like that when he's off the floor. Tyrese Maxey doesn't get coverages thrown at him like that. There's nobody else on the Sixers that commands that much attention that consistently as Embiid and forces defenses to adjust to what he's doing so much and at such a large scale. So him being on the floor just changes the entire dynamic for the Sixers, but for whoever they're playing too.
Yeah. As you were just saying that, I kind of looked at, you know, some of these 4-5 teams, Orlando, Cleveland, and Indiana. So Orlando and Cleveland have identical records.
Wow.
And so we play Orlando, and that's a potential 4-5. And so Orlando's got a lot on the line in just that game, because in the sense of, you want home court advantage in that opening series. So that's something to watch. And then two, Indiana is only a half game back of those teams. So they could get all the way as high as 4. And they could be, you know, they could get as high as 4, and if they end up losing these two games and end up losing in the play-in, like, they could end up out of the playoffs. Like, that's crazy that we're saying
really
that just
so
a few
insane.
Days before the end of the regular season.
Yeah.
But they're there, and again, they have a matchup themselves with Cleveland, and so that could be an opportunity they have on Friday to overtake Cleveland in that five spot.
Wow.
So Kind of a lot going down right here at the end of the regular season as far as positioning in the Eastern Conference. We know the teams that we're going to have, but where they're going to end up is still to be determined. Obviously, as you know, I mean, us as Sixers fans are going to be rooting for Cleveland in that one, hoping Indiana loses.
Yeah.
And then it's going to could come down to Sunday where Indiana loses, Sixers win, and Sixers got the six. Like that could happen. That's still on the table. So again, same thing. 2 months down the road. From the hell of a road that it was, like, this is kind of nuts to think that we could even somehow avoid the play-in. But, what do you, let's just kind of do this and then we can wrap it up. We don't have to be super long tonight. It's late, but, it looks like it's going to be Sixers in Miami. We've seen them match up. We've seen them recently. We've seen it in the playoffs recently. Your thoughts on a one game between Sixers and the Heat, and then kind of your thoughts on how much more comfortable you'd be if that's at home in Philadelphia.
In a play-in or a...
In a play-in, one game, yep.
I would like to think you and I share the same sentiment with this, but at the end of the day, I would like to avoid Miami, and... Obviously, the makeup of their roster has changed over the years, but they've made it to the conference finals or further in the past 4 or 5 seasons, and their core has pretty much been the same. So a team like that is kind of scary, no matter how good you are, no matter how talented you are. We've seen them beat everybody. We saw them beat the Celtics last year. We saw them beat the Bucks 2 years ago. They beat the Bucks last year too, and the Knicks. It's just, they're kind of a wild card, and I mean that in every sense of every definition of whatever wild card. However you define wild card, you can also use that same definition for the Miami Heat. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. I don't love that, honestly.
Yeah.
I don't love that, honestly. And then, especially because, like, I don't know that he was doing it so much this year, but Jimmy Butler... As soon as April hits, it's just he becomes a totally different player, and
yes,
it's not the not the most pleasant of thoughts to have, but mm-hmm. I still would give the Sixers a very good chance to win that game.
Yeah, in. Again, it's a big one,
yeah.
Not just because it's the seven, but because of, you lose that, now you're playing just to play the Celtics. It's just not encouraging with that. I will say, again, Sixers are only a half game up on Miami, meaning that Miami has 3 games to go. One of those is coming up tonight, Wednesday night, against Dallas. But Sixers did match up with the Heat just a few days ago and won that one in Miami, 109-105. That was obviously big considering where it's put the Sixers right now. Mm-hmm. But I'd feel a lot more comfortable playing a play-in one game to get in Philadelphia. So again, while, you know, if Indiana doesn't lose both of theirs, like, the Sixers still have something to play for, and that's home court in that first game. So that's huge. So you take care of business, you win these two, and you're looking at one game to get that seven. So can't complain with that. I don't disagree with you. I agree. They've proven it
right,
time and time again, even when they're a 7-8, like, they're scary. So
wouldn't you say, like, especially because, we've over, like, what is this now? Our third playoffs on the podcast, probably.
We're heading into number 4.
Wow.
We started in the playoffs 2021.
Yes, 21, 22, 22. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. like, the Sixers have matched up what? Against the Heat twice since we've been recording in the playoffs? No. In 20
Is it twice?
In 20 No,
I think it's
only
once.
Been once. It was in 22, and when Harden had his meltdown. Well, everybody had a meltdown. I don't want to rehash that.
Right, when Embiid was hurt that series,
yes.
He came back in game 3. Yeah.
But no, I mean, it's The one thing I really love about the NBA is just the unpredictability of everything. Yeah. And that's Sixers, yes, but Sixers aside, over the years, the league and the more specifically the playoffs have just gotten have become so unpredictable. Like, anybody can really beat anybody, and I mean that more so with the Sixers than I do with any other team, obviously. But anybody can beat anybody. So at the end of the day, yes, there are better places for the Sixers to be, and there are more ideal and optimal places for them to be. But I don't know. I really put them against anybody. Mm-hmm. And I don't. The only team that I really have not much faith in them beating is Boston, and you can interpret that how you'd like on my end, on your end, whatever. Mm-hmm. But every other team in the East, I give the Sixers a really good chance to beat, whether it's play-in or playoffs or anything.
Yeah, I agree. That's, you know, we have been saying it. You want to avoid mm-hmm. them if you can. Yeah, and it. I mean, there's no guessing as to why. I mean, there's no need to speculate as to why. They've been dominant, and you know, we don't like matching up with them in the playoffs either, because it hasn't gone well in recent years, and last year included. So, again, it does look like Sixers and Miami will be the case. We're still holding out a little hope on the six, but we'll see what happens. Again, couple notes though, Embiid. I mean, he's still, kind of ramping up to just, physically, mm-hmm. Getting there. But he played 36 minutes against the Pistons, and he was dominant. 37 points, 2 blocks, 3 steals, 8 assists, 11 boards, 9 of 10 from the free throw line, 4 of 9 from 3. And then, again, as you mentioned, D'Anthony Melton, good to see him out there. Just 16 minutes, but he's been out for a long time, so that was good to see.
Nice to see him back.
A few points for him. So definitely encouraging, because there wasn't much talk of that. His last game was actually against Boston on the 27th of February.
Wow.
Played just 9 minutes in that one. And then actually, even before that, he had a couple injuries. So, it was good through December, then played a couple. He only played 2 games in all of January and 3 games in February. So that puts things in perspective. He's been gone a long time.
Man, it's good. It is very good to have him. You miss a lot without him too. So
yeah. All right. Well, that is episode 141. I will say this, and Michael and I haven't talked about this, but I will say. So let's say the Sixers are heading to a play-in early next week. We will definitely have an episode. Previewing that action. So we'll know what they're doing Sunday. Maybe we'll drop on Sunday about that. So be on the lookout for that as we gear up for Sixers playoffs. Let's go. All right. We'll see you next time on Planet 76.
Playoffs number 4.
Yes, sir. You just listened to an episode of the Planet 76 podcast. Hey, we appreciate you joining us for this episode. Whatever platform you're on, why don't you hit that subscribe button for us, and we'll see you next time.